Usually, we try to talk about a halacha that is connected to the parsha in some way. This is a shaila that somebody asked this week, and I thought it was more interesting than what I had to say on the parsha, so I pushed that to another time. But I actually, before we started, I thought of actual connection. And that is, after Lavan comes after Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov escapes from his house, and Lavan intrudes on Yaakov's space, and Yaakov is offended that Lavan is treating him like a criminal, and in his soliloquy, in confronting Lavan, so Yaakov describes the effort and the time and the experience that he gave to Lavan over those 20 years. And he says, Hayisi vayom achalni choli v'karach v'layva. He tells Lavan, in no uncertain terms, this is how I was. By day, scorching heat consumed me, and frost by night. V'tidar shnasim einai, and sleep drifted from my eyes. And he says, I was out with the sheep at night, and when it was bitter cold, and I kept them warm. And this is how you treat me. You come and treat me like a common criminal. This is totally not appropriate, says Yaakov to his father-in-law. And with this in mind, I think we can discuss the halacha regarding hand warmers on Shabbos. Because if Yaakov would have had hand warmers in his day, perhaps he would not have been so upset about the cold when keeping the sheep. So even though it was a shaila came up, we can also connect it to the parsha with a little bit of siyata d'shmaya. What are hand warmers? Hand warmers are little bags that have perforations in them, little holes, and the bags contain chemicals. It depends on the hand warmer which chemicals are in it, which compounds are there, and when the compounds are exposed to air, an oxidation occurs, and it causes this material to become hot on its own. There's no fire, there's no electricity. It's all a chemical reaction. And this can go up to 24 hours if you have very military-grade ones that are very expensive. And the temperatures can rise over 100 degrees in some cases if you have, again, very intense types of hand warmers. So the question is the use and the opening of hand warmers on Shabbos. Certainly, as we'll see at the end, clearly, you can open the hand warmer before Shabbos and use the heat that occurs afterwards. That will be fine. But the activation, the tearing of the package, and allowing the oxidation to occur for the hand warmer to begin the heating process, that chemical reaction, is what we want to discuss in the time that we have. Let's go through the three possible issues that are raised. Much of what we're going to say right now is based on a Torah Journal article in the Kovitz Yeshurin, number 21, Chaf Aleph, from a Rabbi Menachem Schimmel, who's a posek who deals with technology issues in Eretz Yisrael, and he discusses this at length, and he does a very good job. I will use him as the main structure, and will add comments and haros and insights when I feel it is necessary. So let's begin. The first issue that Rabbi Schimmel raises is the malacha of mevatel, of cooking. Is this considered cooking on Shabbos if it reaches, and it potentially could reach, temperatures of 120 degrees? If you have certain military-grade ones, this is relevant, for example, with soldiers in Sahal, in the army, who need to have warmth with them when they're doing operations at night on Shabbos. They're doing guard duty, and it can get very cold in the winter in Eretz Yisrael, and this is for their safety and their ability to perform their jobs appropriately, and the question is asked for them as well. So in some cases, if it can reach temperatures of 120, that is certainly bishul according to many poskim. The Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says that bishul applies to things that are not food. How do we know that? The Gemara says that if you put a wet peg in an oven, you're chayev for cooking on Shabbos. And then the Gemara goes on to say if you melt pitch, which is used for tar on Shabbos, that's also cooking. And it talks about making a barrel and it lists a number of things that could go wrong. And Rashi explains that when you want to harden the barrel so that it maintains its sturdiness, and it's put in the oven to harden the material of the wood, so that would also be cooking as well on Shabbos. So cooking does not only apply to food, but it applies to items as well. There can be things that are non-edible that can have issue of cooking. Now the question is heating through chemical reaction, is that considered cooking? We have here in Machlokas HaPoskim, Rav Yashar decided in the Sefer Asher HaYishnu Rachaim Mechelik Beis in Simen Chaf Gimel, seeming to be Machmer,
but the cooking is... there's a heat source, and there's the thing you're heating, like the example you gave with the barrel, with food.
So in this case, a chemical reaction, is that the process, the generation of that heat, is that cooking? The issue is, as Rabbi Yashav seems to say, that it is considered cooking. You're generating a heat, and that generation of heat, that if it reaches a temperature, should be cooking. And this is the understanding of Rav Israel Orbach as well, in Torah Sinai, in Perek Chaf. Now the posts who disagree go with the following argument. They say that we know that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Bishel Bechama, if I take food and I put it out on a sidewalk and I let it heat in the heat of the sun, that is not Bishel. Bishel Bechama is not what the Torah prohibits. The Torah prohibits Lo Sivaru Eish. You cannot cook with Eish Bechol Moshosechem in your inhabitants on Shabbos. But cooking in the sun is not what the Torah prohibits. Now, there are issues with cooking with the sun. You can't, for example, if you take a pan and put it out in the sun, that may be a problem because people might think that you cooked it inside and you brought it in the pan outside after it was already cooked. It's not something we generally do as a practice to go and cook things even in the sun on Shabbos. It has to be very, very hot sun outside in order to do that, but it is permissible. And therefore, they say, this is no different than Bishul Bechama. It's not Eish. A chemical reaction is simply not fire, and this is not what the Torah prohibits. And the Rav Belsky in Shulchan Halevi in Parakeh says this. There's a sefer called Otros HaShabbos, and in Simon Vav, he collects a long list of contemporary poskim who he asked, and who said that this is not Bishul. This is Bishul Bechama. This is Bishul, not of fire. And therefore, cooking with a chemical reaction would be fine. The Shemir Shabbos Kilchos hints to this as well in the new edition in the first chapter on Bishul and Ha'ara Yud Beis. Now, Rabbi Menachem Shimmel says, because of the above machlokas, this he writes in the previous edition of Yeshurun. In volume 20, he's not discussing hand warmers. He's discussing these meals that people heat up with chemical reactions, right? You tear the package, and there's some sort of liquid that mixes together. You seal the package closed, and then it heats up inside the package, and you have lasagna a few minutes later. So those things are sold in kosher and non-kosher establishments as well. And he said that whether you like them or not is not the discussion here of their palatability, but the question is, can they be used on Shabbos? So he says, only in a case where there's no other food available, then you can use them on Shabbos. Because of this machlokas, whether it is Bishul or not, and we take cooking on Shabbos very seriously, he says it should only be used if there's no other way. He says it can be used in hospitals or the army for rations, things like that. But a regular layperson who has the option of having regular food and food cooked up with chemical reactions should simply take the regular food and not cook with this type of cooking if not necessary. They definitely get, for sure they get hotter than 20. They get very, very hot. Yes. So the lasagna is steaming by the time it's done. Right. And Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg agreed to this as well. Only to use Bishul in this type of way when necessary, if a person has no choice. In the case of the hand warmers, one may argue, like Rav Moshe Feinstein's famous tshuva about microwaves. Rav Moshe says that microwaves, cooking in a microwave, is Bishul Mida'oraisa, even though it's not really a normal, it's not the fire, there's no fire in a microwave, it's microwaves that heat up the liquid inside the food, and it's not really fire, but Rav Moshe says, when the method of cooking becomes derech bishul bekach, when it comes something that is normative to cook in such a way, so Rav Moshe says that becomes bishul midoraisa. Rav Moshe says that microwaves are prohibited min ha-Torah to cook something on Shabbos. And the argument against that would be in this case, in this day and age, it has not become normative to cook meals using chemical reactions. It has not become mainstream yet, like the microwave. Maybe in a certain time it will become. But now, certainly, Bishul in this form would only be midarabanan. And just let's move Bishul out of the way for the issue here, because in the hand warmers that most people use, it's not going to get to 120 degrees. That probably could also burn skin, unless you have some sort of container around it. And Bishul is not really the issue over here. So let's put cooking on the side. The next issue that is raised is the very amorphous and sometimes unclear malacha of makeh bepatish. One of the 39 malachos is that you cannot finish off an item. Something was unusable now, and now you do something to it, makes it a usable kli, something that was not usable and now is usable. That's called makeh bepatish, the final hammer blow. And maybe in this case, the whole process has been up into the factory to get these hand warmers to your gloves, and now you're finishing it off. You're making this unusable item now usable when you open the package. Maybe this is makeh bepatish, says Rabbi Shimon. So he argues three different reasons why this is not makeh bepatish. One, the Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Hei Amud Beis, says that one who finishes any malacha is chayav makeh bepatish. And Rashi says, and Shabbos Mem Zayin, that makeh bepatish is one of the 39 malachos. And the Ran says that makeh bepatish isn't really a malacha on its own, it's just you can apply it to any action that finishes something off. So the Gemara in Shabbos regarding making a barrel that we discussed before, And the Gemara discusses making a hole in a chicken coop or opening a sewed neck hole. We used to buy shirts in the past, and the neck hole was sewed tight, and you had to rip it open in order to make the shirt usable when you bought the shirt. And the Gemara and other places in Beitz and Shabbos talk about all different types of things of finishing different objects. And in those cases, they're all talking about kalim. They're all talking about vessels. I'm making a vessel, a usable item that I can use things for later on. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that this is not a kli. I'm making a chemical reaction is not makabe patish. I'm not making a kli. I'm not making a usable container, because all the examples the Gemara and the Talmud Bavli give are about making usable containers or things to contain other things in to hold things. But when I rip open the package and the reaction begins, I'm not making anything. There's no discernible thing that I made. How could this be makabe patish? This is the approach of the Bavli. However, the Yerushalmi, in the same parak in Halacha Beis and Klal Gadol, lists a number of processes when it comes to making fibers and foods that fall under makabe patish, that are not like making kalim. And rather, they are actions, and list a number of different things there. According to this reason, makabe patish is not dependent on making a vessel or a kli. It is rather the finishing of any product, whatever it is. So maybe one could argue, according to the Yerushalmi, once I finish off anything and make it usable, whether I made a cup or a chicken coop or I opened up a hand warmer, I finished it, and maybe according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, that could be makabe patish. The Achronim discuss whether rinsing a salty fish is considered makabe patish, since it makes it edible. They used to have a fish called kulyas ha'ispanin. It was a small fish, and it was very salty, and you wouldn't eat it as it was preserved in the salt. Rather, what you would do is take it, wash it off, and now it would be edible. Now, those who say it is a problem to wipe off the salty fish, they cite the Yerushalmi. Making a fish edible is not a kli. But what I'm doing is, I took it from an unedible fish to an edible fish, and maybe that is like the final hammer blow. The Mishnah says there's no makabe patish when it comes to food. That's not relevant for us right now, but the subsequent discussion about this is relevant. The Bir Halach in Shin Yud Ches, in Sif Dalet, gives a number of examples from Shas where preparing foods are discussed. And in no discussion about the preparing of foods on Shabbos does anyone say it's makabe patish. It's simply not. You're just making something to eat. You're not making a kli. Now, the Shvisas HaShabbos' introduction cites the Mishnah Berurah, and he says this is against the Yerushalmi and the Lavush and the Prima Gadim and the Minchas Chinuch, and the Rav Palim, and this is not the case. He says, we are machmer for the Yerushalmi that says that even if you're not making a kli, a vessel that you can put something inside of and use it for to hold something else, that's still makabe patish. The final hammer blow would still apply over here. How can the Mishnah Berurah argue with the Yerushalmi and all these poskim based on his own? The Mishnah Berurah invented a reason. There's no makabe patish when it comes to food. Where did he come up with this? He saw a number of Gemaras that seemed to hint at that, and he came up with his own rule. And he cites Rosi Pesach Frank, who says that maybe it's only a problem if the food isn't going to be eaten soon, because it's eino miskayim. If you're going to make food edible, and then you're going to save it for a long time, so maybe that's a problem. But if you're going to make food edible and then eat it right away, so that malacha that you're doing right now, the final hammer blow, is not lasting for a long time, says Rutsi Pesach Frank. And the Maral Diskin argues and says that makabe patish even applies when the food is not going to be miskayim. So if I prepare a food, I prepare a beautiful food, now the salad is done, makabe patish, and now we're going to eat it. So now this food that was unedible before is now going to be edible, like washing off the salty fish. So since I'm going to eat it right away, maybe that should not be makabe patish, because it's not going to last. Malachos have to last. They have to be miskayim, right? If that's, for example, when it comes to Ein Sviya Ba'ochlin, we know that a person is not allowed to color things on Shabbos, but we have a rule in Halacha that there's no prohibition of coloring foods on Shabbos, right? If a person wants to put ketchup on his noodles and it's make the noodles all red, so then that's not a problem. I'm coloring the noodles. The Ein Sviya Ba'ochlin, there's no prohibition of coloring when it comes to food. And therefore he says that, says Rabbi Shimon, that's the same thing over here. When it comes, why is it that there's no prohibition of coloring when it comes to food? Because the malacha is not going to last. I'm going to turn the noodles red with the ketchup, and then I'm going to eat it, and you're never going to see them again. So the coloring is not going to last any much longer. But the same thing with makabe patish. He says, when I finish off the salty fish, so now it is and I'm going to eat it right away, you're not going to see the outcome of this malacha much longer because I'm about to eat it. And therefore, he says, when the salty fish is rinsed off, it's not going to be miskayim. And he wants to say the same argument by the hand warmers. When I rip open the package of the hand warmers, what's going to happen? It's going to get hot for a couple of hours, and what's going to happen? It's going to go away. It's going to become cold, and the reaction is going to wear off. And therefore, even if one wants to argue with Zmakhi Bapatsa, she says, but this is a malacha that is not going to last very long. And therefore, certainly would not be a malacha d'oraisa. That would not be a total level prohibition of Zmakhi Bapatsa. Argument number two against Zmakhi Bapatsa, and that is electricity on Shabbos. There's a famous piece in the Chazon Ish or Chaim in Simen Nun, and the Tzitzel Yezer agrees to this as well in Chelek Vav, that causing electrical appliances to work on Shabbos is Zmakhi Bapatsa. Why? Because the remote control car was ineffective right now, and now I turned on the switch for the remote control car to work. It was ineffective now. It is effective. That turning of the switch, turning electricity on, now makes it functional when it was not functional beforehand. This is the argument of the Chazon Ish. And they say, for example, one of the things that is discussed in the postgame is winding a watch on Shabbos. You cannot wind a broken watch on Shabbos because beforehand the watch is not in the right time, it's unusable, and now when you turn it to the right time, that will make it usable. That is Zmakhi Bapatsa, according to the Achronim. So by pure analogy, they want to say electrical appliances should be the same thing. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in his Tshuva on electricity in the Mincha Shlomo. And the Chalkas Yaakov in Chelek Aleph Nun Gimel also disagrees. And they argue that appliances are designed to be turned on and off. That's what appliances are about. That's the whole point of electricity, that I can turn it on and I can turn it off. It will function and not function at my will and my command. And therefore, this is not Zmakhi Bapatsa, they say. This is simply called shimush. This is called use. You turn something on, you turn something off. And Rav Shimon argues that hand warmers are also a form of shimush. When I rip open the package and the hand warmer hits the air, so it's not Zmakhi Bapatsa, because it is designed to do what? To heat up and to cool off. Just like the remote control car is designed to turn on and to turn off. So just like Rav Shlomo Zalman says that electricity is not Zmakhi Bapatsa because it turns on and it turns off, and that's its design, so too, the hand warmer is designed to turn on and then turn off. Another reason to be lenient. Finally, he says, when it comes to Zmakhi Bapatsa, is Rashi in Shabbos Ayin Dalet, who says that Zmakhi Bapatsa is not an issue in making a barrel in an oven in order to dry and harden it, because the oven is doing the final act on its own. The oven is the one that's hardening it. You're not hitting the barrel to give it its final blow. Rather, the oven is I'm putting it in the oven, and the oven is doing all the work for me. So he says, wind it over here as well. I'm not heating up the hand warmer. I'm opening up the package, and the hand warmer is doing it all by itself. The hand warmer's reaction on its own. I'm not doing something. I'm not rubbing it together or doing any other qualitative act to the hand warmer to make it get hot. I'm simply letting air exist, which we do all the time. And therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, a third reason we should be lenient when it comes to hand warmers. Let's turn now to the last malacha that is raised, and this is the most difficult one to try to go around. And this is the derabanan. The first two were d'oraisa, Torah level issues, and this is a derabanan, something that's also kind of hard to pin down, and that is molid. Molid is a rabbinic malacha that is hard to quantify, but we'll try to do our best. The Gemara in Beis Chav Gimel and Aleph says it's usher to place a cup of perfume on a silk garment on Yom Tov because it creates molid, a fragrance in the garment. And the Gemara says, why should this be any different from creating a smell by rolling a branch of aromatic branches on it, that the branches smell nice, which we know is matur? So the Gemara says, when you roll the branch, you're only adding to the existing fragrance. When I rub the branch together, I'm only adding to the existing fragrance that's already there. If I take rose petals and I rub the petals together, I'm making it smell more, but the rose petals already had an odor to them. In this case, I'm taking fragrances and I'm rubbing it on clothing where the fragrance did not exist before. And Rashi explains that this is a din d'rabbanan, shehamolid davar chadash karovu la'osim malacha chadasha. The rabbis did not like things in which you had new creations on Shabbos, where I created something that did not exist before. And this is a malacha d'rabbanan of molid. You can imagine this is hard to figure out where to apply it and not to apply it. And that's going to be the discussion we have to have right now. The Gemara in Shabbos and Aleph on the Beis, so you don't crush ice or snow on Shabbos in order to make it into water. Says Rashi and the Ran, because it's molded. You take the ice and the snow, and I'm crushing it to make the liquid that did not exist there before. It was solid, and now I'm turning it into liquid. This is another application of molid. We find the application of molid in the Achronim as well. It's not like we only use the cases in the Gemara. We find it used in other discussions. The Maharsham in Chelek Aleph Kuf Mem says it's usher to make seltzer on Shabbos because of molid, because I'm adding the carbonation to where it was not there before. This is debated. The minhag of most poskim is to allow the making of seltzer on Shabbos. And they were not so machmir necessarily about molid, but he felt it was a problem. The Dovid Meisharim in Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Hey said it's usher to make ice on Shabbos because of molid. I'm taking the liquid and I put it in the freezer. I'm going to cause it to become solid. There's a long piece in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas about this, about how Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan of Brisk, did allow the making of ice on Shabbos. And ice is not, many poskim who allow it say that ice is not a bar kayama. It's not going to last a long time. Once I take the ice out of the freezer, it's going to go back to water. And therefore, maybe that's not real molid. It's not a real creation. The Ginus Varadim in Orachaim and Kal Gimel Siman Tazayin says, there's no problem using soap that gives your hands an odor on Shabbos. Right? You can use smelly soap, smelly in the positive sense, that your hands are going to smell like pomegranates, whatever it is you want them to smell like. We actually use the soap. Why, he says? Because the fragrance on your hands is not going to last a very long time. So we see that molid needs to be with something that will have some sort of continuity long after the effects, according to some poskim. We see it's a machlokas. Now, the possibility of the use of electricity on Shabbos is another issue of molid. Of all the six or seven reasons given for why electricity may be usher on Shabbos, one of the most popular is molid. Molid was first suggested by Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis in the Beis Yitzchak and Chelek Beis Lamed Aleph. And he says that just like Chazal prohibited making a new fragrance or adding a fragrance to a place where it did not exist before on Shabbos because of its new creation, so too, when I add electricity to an appliance, I'm making it new through the use of electricity and the creation of the current that's going through it. I'm being molded. I'm adding an existing quality to this dead appliance that did not exist before. This is a molded as it applies to electricity. And then he says that making a current flow, a molded zerim, is asur midrabbanan.
How's that different turning on a faucet and letting water run through
it? How's it different than turning on a faucet? I guess you would probably say that in the faucet, the water is just there and it's being held back. In the with the batteries, electricity, it's not there until you finish the current, until you make the circuit. There's nothing there. It's empty until you make the circuit. That's probably what the Beis Yitzchak would say in regards to that. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Tshuva on Electricity Mincha Shlomo hits back against this as well. And he says, against the Beis Yitzchak, that essentially that they're incorrect, because any act that's done throughout the day, on and off, routinely done and undone, cannot be included in the Yisr Darabanan of Molid. You turn it on, you turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. That's not Molid. As we said before, Molid or Nolad need to have something that's Mekayim, something that it stays later on. It needs to stay there after the fact. And he says, then he says a very big chiddush. He says, according to some people, that the example of Molid, we don't simply go and apply wherever we see new things, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. We don't make up new examples of molid outside of what we find by Chazal. And merely creating a new thing is usher. Just because creating a new fragrance is usher doesn't mean that anything that you create is new on Shabbos is going to be usher because of molid. And he insists that only a number of limited actions from Chazal fall under the category of molid, and you can't simply go from there and make everything that you see that is new on Shabbos, making new things, going to be usher because of molid. And he brings a proof from the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, the father of Yaakov Emden, writes in Siman Sadi Beis, and he says that you can only use molid in the application of applying fragrance to one's clothing. So the Chacham Tzvi said explicitly that that's what the Gemara said, and we don't apply it in other places as well. But you can apply it to other things that are not clothing, says the Chacham Tzvi. It was only the case of clothing. You want to make the wall smell or the door smell by rubbing perfume on them, says the Chacham Tzvi, go ahead. So Shlomo Zalman says that we don't make things that are new or new inventions molded because simply it's something that it's making new things that we didn't know existed before. So that puts that issue into question as well, whether molded may or may not be a problem with the hand warmers. You're creating this new thing. Just a quick discussion about the tearing of the packages. The Pri Chadash and the Chacham Tzvi both write about tearing of packages on Shabbos. And essentially the way the poskim come out when it comes to tearing packages is that if you tear a package because you need something inside of it, and you tear it to the extent that it is not usable anymore and it cannot be a kli to get to what's inside as long as you're not tearing letters and things like that, so we are lenient. And therefore, just to open the package, as long as you totally destroy the package when you open it, so it cannot be used to hold anything that is of substance, so tearing the package will be fine. So these three issues, the issue of bishul, and whether the chemical reaction is going to be a problem, the issue of makabapatish, the final hammer blow, and whether opening the package and creating the final step of the chemical reaction would be considered a malacha, and whether it has to be miskaim or last a long time or not. And then finally, the issue of molid, of creating new things or new existences that were not there before, this idea of creations on Shabbos, and whether, again, it has to last a long time, or do we apply new examples of that, are the issues here. So Rabbi Shimel concludes in his article that there are many reasons to be lenient in regards to hand warmers. And therefore, he suggests, because this is a machlokas haposkim, it should only be used b'makom tzorech. Hand warmers should only be allowed on Shabbos if they are necessary. If it is extremely cold and one cannot go outside, assuming there's a good Erev, and in such a case it would be dangerous to go outside for such a person without them, then there's room to be lenient. Or a soldier, he says, who needs them in order to serve properly. And he says that he suggested this explanation to Rosh Shlomo Fisher and to Azam Nechemya Goldberg, and they agreed with this as well. Subsequently, I have seen that Rav Yaakov Ariel, the Rav of Ramat Gan in Eretz Yisrael, he has on his website, and that it should only be used for chayalim, or in a case where it's a need, but a civilian who does not need hand warmers should not use them on Shabbos. And Rav Dov Lior, in his Shas HaTshuvas Devar Chevrum and Simon Reish Lamed Vav as well, says that it should only be used in a case of great necessity, but not simply because it's uncomfortable outside and you don't like to have chapped hands. That would not be enough. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, in a shir that he gave in his Moshe Shabbos Parsha shir, in Parshas Vayetze, ironically, in Tufshin Nun Tes, on the 4th of Kislev, he says, Ein lecha nolad gadol mizeh. This is a classic case of nolad. This is certainly molad, creating new things that didn't exist before. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, for a regular person it would be a problem, but for a soldier who's out in the field, and there could be a potential problem of frostbite, certainly he should use hand warmers. And he says, if you can open the hand warmers before Shabbos and use it on Shabbos, that would be preferable, if you could do it beforehand. So if you know the hand warmer is going to last 6 hours to 8 hours, and right before Shabbos, open it up, and then use it at that time. I asked Rav Shechter about this, and Rav Shechter said that a normal use in the winter would be an issue of molid because of the chemical reaction, and he said explicitly that there's no issue if the reaction begins before Shabbos, and obviously if there's no Erev, the hand warmers would be an issue of carrying in Hotzah on Shabbos, and that issue would apply. So it would come out halacha l'maisa, unless a person is of great, almost medical necessity, or a person is serving in the army, which I think would exclude present company. So one should not use hand warmers on Shabbos unless there is a great need.